I'd like to just share with you as a small introduction my connection to kashrus is that, or began as a little boy, my father started a kashrus organization called the Chafkei. His first major account was Howard Johnson's ice cream. At the time, it was just a rav. Back in the day, kashrus was just a rabbanim. He was a rav in a shul in Union City, and he had this meeting with Howard Johnson's ice cream, which was a national chain. And he said, "Listen, Rabbi, you have to have some sort of symbol. What's your symbol?" So he came up with this symbol, the chafkei, which has become one of the largest symbols in kashrus in the world today. Perhaps it's definitely not the largest. The OU is the largest. After the OU, there's the chafkei and the OK and star K, which are all basically around the same size. I can't tell you exactly which one's larger. And in different areas, different kashrus agencies have stronger presence. For example, the chafkei in China is very large. They do a tremendous amount of work in China and in chemicals. In other words, there are things you'll never see. The largest chemical plant in the world that makes basis for Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, for all of the large companies, Unilever, which is a huge company, you know, is just there, more of a parent company, are all under the heksher of the chafkei. My father is the CEO of the company. My two brothers are the two rabbinic advisors that are running the company under my father. So it's kashrus is something that we grew up with. I breathed kashrus, you know, I slept with kashrus. I used to put the kashrus symbols onto the labels. You know, kashrus is something that I heard I can tell you all the big hacks in kashrus, all the big scandals in kashrus. That was what we used to, you know, we were always talking about in the family. Kashrus is something that I have spent my entire life basically hearing about. That's my personal entry into kashrus. Rabbi Wino, who's aside from being yeshiva's paisik, is the paisik of the shul, Zichron Nasan Tzvi, and also he's also Rosh Kol in Shiva Teres Maisha, and he has hundreds of people who are relying on him for Psak Halacha. Not just the yeshiva itself is already hundreds, but in Zichron Nasan Tzvi and in Teres Maisha, so he's got a lot of people. He's got involved in kashrus, and I've also brought him in certain ways to get more involved in kashrus, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Anyway, I want to start as follows. This is extremely important. People like bottom line. And they say, Rabbi, is it kosher or is it not kosher? Just tell me, is it kosher or is it not kosher? You can't do that. That's not a valid question. And I want to explain as follows. This is the way I look at it. If a person has, yes, cheese, and the cheese is already past the expiration date, will you die if you eat that cheese? I don't know. It could be there's salmonella in that cheese, and it could be, or eggs, or whatever. It could be that there's some sort of like viral bacteria there, and it will kill you. Is it possible? Yes. Are you definitely going to die? No. You might not even get sick. I got no idea. It could be fine. But I have no idea. I can't tell you. Now, is a person taking a risk by eating something that's already past the expiration date? Yes. Let me give you a better example. You want to get your pills from China. You need medicine. You can get it from America, or you can just ship it in from China. Now, America has FDA rules. The rules of the FDA are going to make sure that this is high quality and everything is the way it's supposed to be. You ship it in from China, you have no clue what you're getting. It could be fine, but it could be horrible. Could be not. There's no FDA. So you're taking a serious risk. Now, does that mean you will die if you take this medicine? No. But it's possible. You don't know. And that's a risk that a person takes. If something is not a reliable hechsher, I cannot say treif. This is not kosher. You can't say that. You could say it's not reliable. You are taking a serious risk. Now, some people say, I'll take the risk. So let me tell you a few stories. Let's start with this story. It's an amazing story. It's from a sefer called Yerushalayim Shalmaila. In English, it's the Heavenly City. It's a beautiful story. I'm just cutting it down for a moment. There's someone who came to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And he said to Rabbi Kiva Eger, he said, I got one son, and it's just nothing's going in. All my other sons, they learn great. They're being very much matzliach in yeshiva. There's one son, and just nothing's going in. What's the deal?
Rabbi Eger said, your son ate something that's not kosher. And the father said, it can't be. My son only eats in my house. I shecht everything personally. I make everything personally. In our house, everything is kosher. Impossible. Rabbi Eger said, well, I'm just telling you, that's what happened. So the father went to his son and he said to him, did you ever eat out of the house? Ever? So first son saying, no, it didn't happen. He said, well, I tell you, one time I was walking home from school and we heard a lot of music and there was a wedding. And I went inside to the wedding, see what's going on, and I ate at the wedding. And the father was mavar afterwards, and there it was. Food, for whatever reason, whatever the story is exactly, Baal Tanya said the food here is not good. Not good. So the father comes to Rabbi Akiva Eger and says, what should I do with my son now? You're right. You were right. Now what? He said, there's hope. Send your son to learn in Eretz Yisrael, and he'll be okay. And he shipped the son off. Now, back in the day, it's not like, you know, you send your son to some yeshiva over there and, you know, and they send you newsletters. You know, he sent the son, he was gone, that's it. He sent the son, and he put him up by someone's house, and he learned there in Eretz Yisrael alone. And the kid became a big Talmud Chacham. But what's the point? The point is that a person exposes himself to things he's not supposed to eat. It's not, you know, something that you're gonna necessarily only pay the price in the future, which is probably half the price. It's going to stop you from doing what you want to do. So you came to Eretz Yisrael. Now we've got the solution. We're here. We can solve the problem. But not if we're going to keep on doing it and eat things that are not reliable here. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We've got to be careful. There's another story. It's brought down in many places. Reb Chaim Brisker told the story. There was a rav that had a correspondence with the Rambam. He was asking the Rambam questions. He asked the Rambam a question in Hashkofe. He asked the Rambam a question in Jewish philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And the Rambam said, this kasha smells. There's something wrong here. Check the shoychet in your town. There's something wrong with this question. Yekrum. And they checked the shoychet, and the shechita was no good. Shechita was no good. So a person wants to be able to have like a good, clear head. He wants to be able to understand his learning. He wants to have good hashkafas. He wants to be able to be a ben Torah. You got to be careful about what you eat. It just won't happen otherwise. So I want to talk to you a little bit about kashrus and Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are people that say, it's all politics. I don't know if you ever heard that. It's all politics. They say, everything's fine. They'll tell you, there's another thing they say. The worst texture you have in Eretz Yisrael is better than the best texture you'll ever find in America. Over here, what do you mean, Eretz Yisrael? We're so from over here. That's nothing to worry about. Stop, get the politics. So, I want to explain to you, first of all, how we know it's not politics, what some of the issues are, what could be the dangers, and then we're going to allow Rabbi Wiener to take over the halachic side of things. It was false. Kashrus is a money-making industry. I know. Okay? It's a money-making industry. You make a decent amount of money if you have successful hechsher. The Eda Charedus, which is considered as, for sure, top-tier hechsher, top of the line. People call it Badatz, but Badatz is not really the name of it. It's really called Eda Charedus. Okay? Eda Charedus is the top tier hechsher. They're making a lot of money. Now, they give a hechsher to something called Doritos. Doritos is a big seller. It's a big item. There's one flavor of Doritos that they don't give a hechsher to. One flavor. Why? Politics? Hold on, they're giving extra to Doritos already. So why don't you make the extra money on another flavor? The green one. Why not? The other one.
I'll tell you why. There's something wrong with the ingredients, and the Eidah Haredes feels that they cannot give the Hefsher. It doesn't make sense, politics. It makes no sense. Why won't they want to make the money? They're already giving the Hechsher. There's a company called Osem, one of the biggest companies in all of Eretz Yisrael. Many of their products are under the Hechsher of the Eidah Haredes. Many of their products are not. Why not? I don't understand. This is a huge account, big bucks in your pocket. You're giving the Hechsher already. Because obviously there are issues there. That the Eidah Haredes says, this is a problem. I'm not willing to give this Hechsher. It's not due to politics. What happened, there was a breakdown in the Hechsher in Yerushalayim, in particular, in the Rabbanut. There was a tremendous scandal that happened. There was a big fight that happened in the Rabbanut. Not amongst rabbis necessarily. It had to do with when Ariel Sharon was prime minister and he tried to dismantle the Ministry of Religion. He put his son, Omri Sharon, in charge. Now, Omri Sharon is not from in any way, shape, or form. Omri Sharon is a criminal who sat in jail. He sat in jail because what he was doing with things like the Ministry of Religion, when they arrested him, they took away his diary and other things like that. And he wrote in his diary, I put my friends in positions and I gave them salaries in the kashrus department of the Ministry of Religion. You understand how crazy that is? They're not from, and they're running a kashrus agency. This is crazy. There's a video of the person who was running the Trumas and Mises, or the Talayim, I don't remember, a video of him talking to a lady who is trying to hire to do a horrible Avera, and said, I know I have a beard, and I know I have payas, but it's just a show, it's not real, the whole thing is a fake. There's a video of him talking and saying that. So there was a terrible breakdown of kashrus in the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim. It was horrific, to the point that I personally spoke with people that work in the Rabbanut today, and they told me that you cannot eat this Hechsher. They work there. They said the place, it's a wreck. It is a wreck. Now this is years ago. There's now a new chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. His name is Rav Stern. I don't know him personally, but I know he's trying to get a hold of things. So we asked them, I'd like a list of the mashgichim. Can you please give me a list of the mashgichim? And they refused to give it to him. He's like, hello, this is my Hechsher. I'm the rabbi here. I'm the chief rabbi. I sign on the paper. Could you please tell me who's working for me? No. Till finally got it. That night, someone broke into his office and stole the document from him. This is in the news. This is something that is documented. He's like, I can't work this way. So this is like the type of backdrop of what's going on over here. And realize, this is government run. The government is not religious. The Rabbanut is run by the government. So a person has to realize what the situation is and why was the government set up. Rabbi Wiener is going to speak about that. And like, why was the Rabbanut set up at all? What's the point of the Rabbanut? He's going to speak about that. So I want to tell you one quick story, and I'm going to give over to Rabbi Wiener very soon, which was, We were getting a lot of pressure from people. Tell us the name of a restaurant that you can eat in. Tell us the name of a restaurant that's good. It's great. We're going to go to a restaurant, and we're going to tell them it's good. We went to this restaurant, and we were very excited. We thought this is going to be a good restaurant. We even asked people. They said, this restaurant's good. It's fine. I'm going to tell you the name of the restaurant, but you have to stay until the end of the story. The name of the restaurant is Xi'an. You have to stay until the end of the story, or else you can't make any assumptions until I'm finished. And we were like, this is good. This restaurant's good. This is going to be good. And we got there. It was a train wreck. It was so horrible. I'm telling you, there is not one Hechsher in America that would go anywhere near these standards. It was terrible. It did not exist. The Hechsher did not exist at all. There was no Hechsher. Zero. What do I mean, zero? The mashkiach was not allowed into the machzan. That's where all the food is kept. Mashkiach did not go into the kitchen. The meat didn't have tags. It's basr shenis alam and ha'ayim. There was no one turning on the fires. It was not bishul Yisrael. It was nothing. It was like zero hechsher. The hechsher was one thing. The mashkiach poured the wine.
He poured the wine. That he did. He poured the wine. In other words, whatever you see, he was there. Nothing else. Rabbi Wiener sat with the people that run the Hechsher. It's like, okay, tell me what type of products you use here. This organization we don't use. This one we don't use. It's like, okay, let's go downstairs. They went downstairs and it's like, you said you don't use this. Here it is. You said you don't use that. Here it is. What's going on over here? The Hechsher was non-existent. Now, it was almost like a watershed moment where literally entire Yerushalayim like heard about this, we're going to call it a scandal, and there were calls. I was getting bombarded with calls. Rabbi Wiener was getting bombarded with calls. The head of the Hechsher called, the Mashkiach called, the head of the restaurant called, Rabbanim from the Emir called, Rabbanim from America's Atara called, everyone's calling all over the place. What's going on? What's happening? Lemaisa, the owners of the restaurant of Shiana are good people. They're not religious, but they're good, well-meaning people. They don't know what they're doing. What do you want from them? How should they know? They fixed up a tremendous amount. And for a while, Rabbi Wiener was on top of the situation, and he was himself giving his, without really getting any type of reimbursement for it or any type of profit, but just doing it because he wanted people to have a place to eat, and he was himself giving his own, putting his own name behind the restaurant, you could eat there for a while. That's not the case right now anymore. And I don't want to speak about Shiyan worse than any other restaurant anymore, because they've done a lot of work. We are not saying here that Shiyan is okay. We are not saying that Shiyan is any worse than any other restaurant. We're not talking about that. I'm giving this as an example. I want you to understand that it was horrific. And that could be the situation in many other restaurants. It's the same exact thing. And the manager of the restaurant said, our big mistake is, why did we let you in? Why did we show you what we were doing? Because a lot of other places where no one knows what's going on. And to have this disillusion that the worst Hechsher in Eretz Yisrael is better than the best Hechsher in America is 100% totally false. Because there is no Hechsher in America that would allow what was happening there to happen. No Hechsher. So we have to take this seriously, Rabbi Yisai. We have to take it seriously. And Rabbi Wiener has done a tremendous amount of research to be able to understand the ins and outs of what's happening in Kashrus here in Eretz Yisrael. I'd like to ask Rabbi Wiener to join me up here by the Bima. Is that okay?
Yes. Okay. Shkoyach to Rav Shiva, he really introduced the Indian well. I want to basically just back up a step, which was mentioned already, but I think we heard a few times from someone in the Rabbanut who's still working in the Rabbanut, from one of the original people in the Rabbanut, Rav Tzvi Licker, who came to Yeshiva a few times, and he mentioned that the way Rabbanut began was the Rav HaRoshi, at that time was Rav Shapiro, he called together a group of Yungalite learning in the Merkez HaRav Kailo, and he said to them, we need to do something for those people that are not eating kosher. And as he describes it, he says, you know that there's the leftists, then there's the leftists of the leftists, and then there's those that are buying rolls to eat on Pesach, Erev Pesach, they're buying Lachmaniyot to eat on Pesach. That's who we're trying to save. And how are we going to save them? By just finding any slight way of giving a Hechsher to that product. Which means that we're going to take coolers, which no one relies on, and maybe in a B'dievet situation we'll rely on it, and even coolers which even in a B'dievet situation we don't rely on, we're going to rely on. That was their decision. In order to save these Jews from somewhat eating non-kosher. So Rabbi Nut is really focusing on them. Say of one story he mentioned, there was a restaurant in Tel Aviv which was serving basav achav, and he, as he says, not maybe basav, it was basav achav mamash, cooking meat with milk. And they asked for a heksha on their rolls that will be kosher Pesach rolls. And they had to make a decision. Should we give them a heksha on the rolls or not? People may think that the restaurant's kosher. And their decision was, you know what, if we could save someone from a chiv krisis, even though they're being oivan lavin of eating basav achalav, we're going to do it. So that's who the Rabbanon is catering to. I think at least that we're not part of. Rabbanon Mahadrin was established by Rav Kook and Rav Rubin in the city of Rehovot, which was with the idea that if we're going to be in charge of the Rabbanut, because every city, the Rabbanim of each city are in charge of the Rabbanut of that city. So they decided that if we're in charge of the Rabbanut and we have to keep to the general rules of the Rabbanut, it's just, we don't want to be behind that. So we're going to create that there's something called Rabbanut Mahajan, which is a standard above Rabbanut, which means that it's the Rabbanim of each city making the heksha for that city, but there has to be a Rabbanim behind it. So Rabbanut Mahadrin of Rehovot, well, also Tzvas, where we know the Rabbanim that are behind the Rabbanut Mahadrin over there, who are establishing what are the rules and laws that the factories and establishments have to keep to, we'll rely on. In Yerushalayim, until around 10 years ago, a little more, people relied on the Rabbanut Mahadrin. It was under Rav Yitzchak Kulitz, but then it crumbled. And like the Rashiva mentioned, maybe Rav Shtern will be able to get it back on its feet, but right now it's not on any feet. So there's a lot of looseness within the Rabbanut Mahadrin, that there's no overhead looking over what's going on in the Rabbanut Mahadrin. So when you walk into a Rabbanut Mahadrin place and you want to eat in this restaurant, you don't know who you're relying on. Who's checking this out? Who's in charge over here? So you can find out who the mashgiach is. But then what? So I just want to mention a few issues which could come up, and just to create this alertness and this awareness that we need, and hopefully try to create to find the solution to it. But I think it's important that we should be aware of what could go wrong. What could go wrong in a restaurant? What could go wrong in a bakery? A pizza shop. Pizza shop seems to be very simple. So Baruch Hashem, we have Big Apple Pizza in Ramat Eshkol, which took work. It's relatively simple compared to a restaurant and surely compared to a hotel. But there's a hafrashas challah. When you're making a certain amount of dough, We need to separate a portion for challah. And if one does not separate the challah from the dough is usur to eat, and it will also possibly trafe in your oven, which means that the oven has to be kashered and before you make anything else in there. So it could create problems. If there's no system set up making sure that every day hafrashas challah is being done in a correct way, so you're starting off already with a problem. And then who's turning on the oven? Who's turning on the oven? If it's the guy who shows up early, because the owner is not showing up early, you need to turn on the oven an hour, two, or three before the store opens, so it should be hot enough to make the pizza. So who's turning on the oven? So if there's no system set up that the oven should be turned on by a Jew or what other eitzah there is with a clock, and then the mashgiach comes in, turns it off, and turns it on, you're running into bishul akum, which again, bishul akum, you could have the best products in the world, but if the guy is cooking those products, the food is asur to eat, and according to one shita, which we probably paskin like, the kelim that were used are asur. So there's a lot that you need a mashgiach to be on top of. Number three, products come into the restaurant every day, shipments every day of whatever it may be, fruits, vegetables, meat, and etc. For some reason, the suppliers over here do not have enough to supply you with the good schayra. They don't. unless you really put a pressure on them, so then they'll give you the good schara and slip it, the other schara, to someone else. And I know that personally because one of the meshkichim, one of the suppliers from the shuk, called me up when we were working with Shian, and he was screaming at me. He was telling me, "What are you doing to me? You know I can't supply with what you want. Why can't I give you a little this and a little that? Just let it go." And I said, bottom line is, this is what we want, this is what my people want, this is what you got to deliver. And I put pressure on him, and then there was no problems. But there's no one putting pressure on the supplier. He'll deliver you within the box of good stuff, throw in a few other stuff. So if there's no mashkiach, they're checking over the products, you can run into issues. Tomato sauce cans at a pizza shop, no one realized 6 cans had the mechira on it. Mashkiach who checks over the orders, saw it, sent it back. I was in a different restaurant, relatively a good restaurant, which... Het Mechira is we just had Shvius, Shemitah. During the year of Shemitah, if the land was worked on, the produce is us to eat. There is some kind of heta that there are certain rabbanim that rely on. Svardim, Ravad Yosef, and other rabbanim did rely on this heta, but the Ashkenazi rabbanim do not rely on it. It's called Het Mechira, where they'll sell the land to a guy, and the guy works on the land. But again, it creates a big issue in halacha, whether you can eat it or not. So I was in a different restaurant, which is relatively a good heksha, and just recently, the owner invited me down, and we saw on top of the oven where he's cooking, a bottle of wine, which is het mechir, this questionable wine, which we do not drink. And he's cooking, he said, we use it for the mushrooms and for something else, we use it. And we realized, now mistakes always happen. I'm not blaming anyone for mistakes. But what got us nervous was, I was with a friend of mine there, when we told the mashkiach about it, he said, "Oh, okay, I'll take care of it." And he just left it on top of the stove there. And then we walked into the storage room, we saw another 6 bottles, which again, mistakes happen. It's always gonna happen with the best heksha also. But the attitude towards it, I mean, was a half a bottle there, I would have gone over there and taken and spilled it out right away, that you don't make another mistake. But there was a certain slackness to that. Again, I'm not trying to put anyone down, just these little issues come up. So there's a freshest challah. Shumus and Maestris in this country, we have the beautiful mitzvah of separating shumus and maestris from fruits and vegetables. So Rav Noam Mahadrin takes off shumus and maestris, according to what I understand. However, they have certain kulas, certain leniencies that all the other sharim do not rely on. So again, what standard do you want to be on? And it's a standard which is not really accepted by the Bnei Torah and even not the Bnei Torah. Anyone knows about it, there are certain kulas that they rely on. Bug checking in restaurants, bug checking, checking the vegetables, the rice, the flour. And even if one will tell you, "I've been sifting flour for months and years, I never found a bug, I checked my rice and never found a bug." But when it comes to industrial rice or flour, there are a lot of bugs. There's a bakery here, Shriner's Bakery. Maybe I'll get to find it. He himself told me, Hillel Shriner told me, he said to me, when he heard that I went into the pizza shop, he said, says, "Make sure they sift the flour, because I'm telling you, in industrial flour, I always find worms and bugs in it, and it makes sense because it sits around." And in the rice, when we were by Xi'an, there were times during the year when they had to send back packages of rice because over there they do find. So you need a mashkiach who's capable of doing this. There's one last point over here also in a restaurant that, which when I was sitting with some Akasha's organizations from America, they thought like, but to them was the Dava Pashit that you need a mashkiach tamidi in a fleishig restaurant where the owner is not from. You need to lock the freezers when the mashkiach is leaving a few hours before they clean up and he's coming in later than when they open, and there's a fry owner here. What's stopping him from bringing in? And there's no system, and even if there is a system, who's on top of the system? So bottom line is that even though there's a sugya of Eidachanem Bisurin, which is another line that you'll hear people throwing out about, maybe we'll give a separate shiur on that. I would like to give a separate shiur on Eidachanem Bisurin. However, when it comes to a store, there's Gemaras, there's Rambams, Shulchan Aruch, that the owner of the store does not have the Nemaras of Eidachanem Bisurin on certain products like meat, cheese, and other products where there could be Isser. And the and that's why we have Hechsherim. But the solution of Hechsherim is because they create what's called a mir test. They create this fear of the owner doing something wrong. But if the owner tells you, I'm not worried to do something wrong because they never check up. Or even if they check up and they find it, they'll tell me, they'll give me another chance. And then give me another chance, you lost that whole backing of the Hechsher. So when we talk about tears in Hechsherim, we're basically tearing them, kafi, the way our understanding, we can't say we're perfect and can't say that they're perfect, but our understanding of this creating this mirtas, this fear, there's certain shame where the owners of the stores, of the factories and the restaurants will tell you, we are scared to do a move not like that because they're going to bust us. They're gonna find us and we're finished. They're scared of them. Then there's other shame which we're not passing. We're just saying that it's a standard lower because I've heard from owners of restaurants that, you know, we get away with things. When do they show up? When do they come? And what do they look at? Some Hashem, again, walk in there, the mashgiach is busy asking for a portion of whatever. And he's not really checking so much, so they're not afraid of that. So that's what we're talking about over here. So if we're trying to be careful to eat what's good for our neshamas and for our ruchnis, as Rav Shiva explained, here in Eretz Yisrael and wherever we are. So we have to try to keep to a certain standard. We've been working already for a while on trying to get into different restaurants to be able to just see that the system over there is set up well. And the Mashgiach is doing the jobs he's supposed to be doing. And we have the right to just pop in to double check that everything's going right so that we could suggest and offer these places to our B'nai Torah of the yeshivas and the Yungalait that are living here. With the help of the Tzibur, Tzibur's Tfilis, that we should be Matzliach, and the Tzibur also. Sometimes if you see a restaurant that's not doing well and you could tell them that we could bring them customers, you could help us out with that also. Tell them to give a call to Rabbi Wiener. And if enough people say it, they'll give the call and then we'll see if we can work further. I just want to end with one thing, I'm sorry. Hotels are even more complicated because picture in a restaurant, it's more or less fleishik or milchik. So we don't have this bus of a chal of shayla. We may have other products slipping in, but it's not bas of a challah. A hotel sometimes has 4, 6, 8 big kitchens with chefs that are professionals and they need every ingredient. I stepped on one of their toes recently. I said, this ingredient I don't want you to use. He flipped out. To me, it was like a small little leaf or something. But to him, it was a major deal. He called up his boss and it created a commotion. So I'm just saying, so in a hotel, they're constantly shifting from one kitchen to the other kitchen, and again, like, there's a milchig and a fleishig kitchen going on there, a lot going on between the chefs themselves. And if you don't have a mashgiach that was on top and knows all the tricks, then it could be an issue. And for sure in a place where there's no mashgiach there constantly, then definitely there could be issues. I didn't come here to make issues. I hope that we could together, Mir Tz Hashem.
I'm going to take some questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we ask some questions, I'm going to leave you with some of the questions.
Okay.
Just two more things. First of all, I want to speak about wine for a moment, because wine is an important thing to speak about, because pretty much Shemitah is kind of like fading into history, except when it comes to wines. And sometimes you'll see, especially if the bottle's on sale. If the bottle's on sale, then it's very possible that the reason it's on sale is because it's a Shemitah wine. Shemitah wine is the year 2015, right?
2015. But the 2015 wines are coming out now, and you can have two bottles of wine right next to each other.
Exact same
bottle. One of them's good, the other one's not good. One of them's got an Echsher, the other one doesn't have Echsher. You just don't notice that because you just pulled it off the... And it happens to a lot of people. It's happened to me. Because you're pulling a bottle off, you pull two bottles, and then what do you... And you don't realize that that they look like the same bottle, and they're not. Because a lot of different wineries, they don't want to give up on that year's crop, so they just drop the Echsher for the year, and then the wine doesn't have a Echsher, or has whatever, lower, very loose Echsher. And then you have another issue, which is now the wine that you bought, it's Kedusha Shmita, Kedusha Shvias, and whatever the issues are. In general, there's a lot of wines that do not necessarily have reliable Hechsher, and people just go into wine stores and just buy without looking. But you have to check what the Hechsher is. If anyone ever wants to bring a wine into my home, which you're welcome to do, but I suggest... If you want to make me comfortable, I try my hardest only to drink wines that are either Eda Charedis or Rav Reuben's Hechsher. Those are the two top tier Hechsherim. There's another Hechsher from France. His name is Zekbach. Rav Zekbach. But I like to drink Eretz Yisrael wines anyway because... But the point is like this. A person has to be careful with whatever they're eating and drinking. Now, Rabbi Wiener has been working very hard and has been making inroads, Baruch Hashem. There are establishments that Rabbi Wiener can say that he has himself is aware of, that they're okay. There are two that I know of, maybe more. One of them is Big Apple Pizza in
Ramat
Eshkol. Not any other Big Apple pizzas. They have them all over the country. Just because one's good does not mean the other ones are good. Rabbi Wiener is saying that he doesn't feel confident the other ones are okay. That's one. And there's also the Skyline. Which is a Hechsher, which is a restaurant on top of the Jerusalem Gate.
Then there's some Jerusalem Gates Hotel.
There's other restaurants which are good, but those are the two that Rabbi Wiener himself is standing behind. Now, one of the things Rabbi Wiener mentioned is that in order for this to work, you need to have consumer buying power. Consumer buying power means what happened when we were dealing with, like, for example, Xi'an, and I want to recap that just to get clear, is the place was a ghost town. After we got up, the place was a ghost town. No one was going. They came begging to us. What can we do to make our restaurant okay? Because we got buying power. Not that we're trying to threaten anyone. We don't care. These are nice people. They really are nice people. But we want it to be kosher. So if there's buying power and people are looking for better hechsherim, so the restaurants are going to be hungry for a good hechsher. Give me a good hechsher because I want people coming to my restaurant. And a lot of these restaurants, the people buying there are Americans. 90% of their clients are Americans. So if we, as a group, can say, we are going to make sure to go to the restaurants that have good hechsherim, then all of the restaurants will be compelled to get good hechsherim. But if we don't have, and the self-discipline to say, okay, this is important enough to me, it won't happen. Because the restaurant's like, what do I need to do this for? Listen, the guys are eating here. I got my money, so what do I care? But it should make a difference to us. It should mean something to us. So that's basically the story. I want to just recap because I mentioned Xi'an by name. Xi'an is no longer under Rabbi Wiener's auspices, however you want to say that. So Xi'an is a regular restaurant like all the restaurants. There's a lot of restaurants out there that we don't know about. We don't know exactly what's going on at Xi'an. I'm confident it's not as horrible as it was. Mm-hmm. I'm confident it's not that. We made them change a tremendous amount of things. They didn't throw it in the garbage. Right? I'm confident it's not that. What it is, I'm not saying it's good or not good. That's why I have a poisik. Keeps me out of trouble. But I don't want you to say, okay, well, I heard all these terrible things about Xi'an, I'm not eating there. And I don't want you to say, oh, Xi'an's okay because Rabbi Wiener. Neither of those two are true. It's right now somewhere in the middle with a lot of other restaurants. You want to know any about a particular restaurant, you could ask Rabbi Wiener. If you have other questions now, please do not ask us about particular restaurants right now because there's too many restaurants. We don't have time to deal with that. But if there's any other questions that you'd like to know and ask right now, you could do that. And before that, Rabbi Wiener wants to say there are other restaurants which have a Reuben Hechsher or a good Hechsher that Reuben feels comfortable with. For example, Entrecot and
Red Heifer.
Red Heifer.
There's a Milchig one, Taman.
Lechem Basser, what are you with that?
Lechem Basser is machpud, which is good. I'll explain what I meant. Machpud shechs in a few different places. It's a little complicated, but they shecht in a few different places. And those that understand kashrus better than I do have said that certain meats from certain companies are better than other ones. Lechem Basa, as of now, gets all their meat from a company that is okay. So as long as they continue to do that, then we rely on
until
it.
Further notice, that's Lechem right. Basa is okay. Those are the only ones you want to
mention?
Yeah,
then, right? Yeah. I mean, then there's some other Reuben, nice ones also. There's Muscat, there's on Kafanis Sharm, there's, but from the ones that we're familiar with, those are the ones.
Okay, any other questions that are not about particular restaurants, please? Reuben, go ahead.
I don't know a general standard recipe. What stores are what?
What stores?
You talking about products or restaurants? No.
So let me start with that if
yeah,
I could. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a few things. First of all, there's no question that if you want to stay pure, then the best thing is to stay on what we're going to call tier one. We're going to give out different tiers. Tier one is where we're confident that, like Rabbi Wiener said, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone. Mistakes happen. Just the question of, is it just rampant, or there are small mistakes which you fix as fast as possible. Is there a mirsis or not? There's certain hechsherim which we feel are top of the line. Rav Landau, Rav Rubin, Eda Charedes, these are large hechsherim. Pretty much everything that you go in the store and want to get, you could get with one of those hechsherim. You could also get it with a different hechsher. But if a person says, look, why should I not look for these three hechsherim? Why not? So then I would tell you, you're safe if you go tier one, you're safe. Now a person is putting himself in a little bit of a risk zone. It's a little bit of a risk zone. Are you willing to take that risk? I'll give you an example. There's a big discussion about sherry casks. Sherry casks is when it comes to whiskeys, there are certain whiskeys. Nowadays, from what I understand, lots of whiskeys, they're getting more and more whiskeys with sherry casks. They're being stored in large casks that once stored treif wine. And there's a big machlokes if that's a problem or not a problem. Some echsherim say it is a problem. Some echsherim say it's not a problem. I say, just me, little guy, what do I need to drink sherry casks? Do I really need to drink, what's that stuff called, the 18... The gold one, that's what I'm talking about.
McAllen's
8. Do I really need McAllen's 8? Do I need? Is that what I really need? I'm fine. I have my Royal Salute, which is, I know, is not sherry cask. You got your whatever. You're fine. Is it that important to you that you have to take the risk? You say it's a 1% risk. Maybe it's only 1% risk. What do I need to take the risk for? What do I need to do the risk? It's one day overdue. It says on the thing that this is expired a day ago. Do I need to take the risk? Well, it depends how important it is to me. So every person has to really kind of decide, how important is this to you? Are you willing to take that risk? For me, I'm not willing to do sherry cask. Am I saying it's treif? Absolutely not. I'm not saying it's treif. What I'm saying is, I can live my life without it. I'm very happy. So why should I do that to myself? Why should I expose myself to that? I don't want to do that. And every person has to decide for himself, figure out how big is the risk, because again, we're not even going to tell you that Rabbanut Stam is treif. We're not going to say it's treif. We're going to say that is a huge risk. You're making a very serious risk with your neshama. But I can't say it's treif. I can't say that. So every person has to figure out for themselves, am I prepared to take that risk? That's a pretty serious risk you're taking. And that's kind of the question here. Anybody want to say anything about that?
No.
Yeah, any other questions?
Okay, that's a good question. So there are those that go around saying that milchig is definitely better than fleishig, which I'll just tell you from my experience is totally the opposite. I'll give you one example. A fleishig restaurant, more or less, so you come in the morning, they put up a pot of chicken or meat, they cook it to a certain amount, and then they use it throughout the day. As long as that was done in the morning by a Jew, which hopefully it was, then throughout the day, even if a guy will end up finishing cooking and all that, it's not going to be a problem with shalakim. In the world of meats, there are a lot of chazakis and roivs, which are used in case there are treifas mixed in, As opposed to in a milchig restaurant, you see every order is baked or fried by itself, which means there's much more of a chance that it's bishul akum, because the fires are always going out and on and off. They want to save money, or it goes off by itself. And the products also are much more sensitive in a milchig restaurant. In a fleishig restaurant, you get the order of meat, the spices in this country are more or less bedatze, acharedis, and rubin. And then the few dried ingredients that they need is not such a big deal. In a milchig restaurant, they're getting products from Italy, France, Germany, all over. And the cheeses are made with enzymes and chemicals, which a lot of them are treif, or questionable, of the questions to be treif. So then the cheese is treif. And there's no bittel by maimed, by cheese is no bittel. By fleishig you may have bittel b'roiv and chazakes. Over here you don't. So therefore, to me it seems that milchig is much more risky than fleishig. And whoever I spoke to that understands kasher said to me, of course you're right. So the people that are running around saying that milchig is better than fleishig, I think they were never in a restaurant's kitchen. If they were, they didn't look around.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
In the shuk, is there like a certain hesher that you have to have for like fruit and stuff?
So that's a very good question. In when buying fruits and vegetables, so the reason why we need a good hesher is because of the trumas and maisers. Those different things that need to be separated from the fruits and vegetables, which if they're not separated, there's a problem. And like we mentioned before, that certain hechsherim have certain kulas that all the other hechsherim don't have, and you may not want to rely on those kulas. So is there etza? Yeah, there is etza. If you learn how to take trumas and maisas off yourself, which I could teach you how if you want to, and then you can buy from which, then you can buy even from the lower standard hechsherim and just do it on your own, which is not so complicated. We could go through it in a separate share, how to do it, and what you have to get a hold of, the special coin and all that. Then you won't run into issues. There is another question of arla, but that's only by fruits, and in most cases, it's not a problem.
But like in the shuk, there's a certain, like every stand, almost like one of the same signs, it's a blue sign, I don't know exactly which it has like a picture of a
Lucas
or something, I don't know exactly.
Don't know.
That's the Rabbanut. He means the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut looks like the that's what he means. That's probably the Hechsher of the Rabbanut, which is the general Hechsher which pretty much everything has.
Right. No, so then if there's no second Hechsher there of one that you recognize, like either Charedes or
We're going to give out a sheet that's going to give you tiers, and I show you which hechsherim we would. There's different levels that we're going to give out on the tier. The top level is what we said is considered to be excellent hechsher, and by all standards, that's considered to be something that is reliable. Then you already start going down levels. Then there's something which is considered to be an okay hechsher. good hechsher. Okay is the third level. Is a good hechsher. There are certain kulas that are being relied on over there. Then you go down to something which is not recommended. And then you go down to something which is not recognized. Not recognized means basically doesn't exist. There's such a hechsherim that there's absolutely no standard at all. It's just they come up with a different name. It's basically falsified. They just put like a sign up and that's it. It means zero, means nothing at all. There's such a thing. They exist. We'll show you names of hechsherim. There's nothing there. There's no hashkacha at all. But they're making money because they put signs up, and we got, you know, the Americans that come in and look. There's the hechsher. Well, it looks like Chassidus Rebbe or something like that. Okay, Rupschitz, we could eat here.
Money, right?
Rupschitz is one of them or something like that. They make up these things. Totally made up. Totally made up. So those are the four different tiers, if I remember correctly. There's the top soup, which we'll call all-star, and then there's the hechsher, which we could say is someone can rely on it, he has what to rely on. There's something which we wouldn't suggest you rely on, and there's something which is not recognized. Now, I want to make one more suggestion. I really have to go, and probably all of you also want to go. Every win, and then you could finalize, you could sum up if you want.
I just wanted to admit, the answer is, if you do want to go back there to buy from one of those lower hechsherim, then we have to work out how to do the trumas maisos on you.
Okay. Rabbi Wino will do that later. I make a suggestion, Rabbi Isai, which is be a consumer that is knowledgeable. Be a knowledgeable consumer. You're going to a store, you're going to a restaurant, ask to speak to the mashkiach. I just walk straight into the kitchen. I do that. You walk in like, you know what you're talking about, they're afraid of you. They don't know who you are. And so you walk in, that's it. Where's the mashkiach? They think you probably worked for the extra or something like that. They don't throw you out. If you walk in and you're like, then they say, what are you doing here? But if you walk in, I walk in and I want to speak to the mashkiach and I start talking to them. I remember one place I went to, it doesn't exist anymore, the mashkiach was mentally retarded. I'm not mentally retarded. That was the mashkiach. I'm like, okay, you can't eat here. And he was kashering the livers on the grill, which means the grill is strafe and everything was strafe, and we're out of there.
One of those that are very involved in kashas, he came to me to speak to me about if I could help him out. So when I start telling him my list of things, he says, what do you mean? But they're not capable of doing all this. They can't check the rice and also lock the freezers. So I said, of course, if you're paying them 25 shekel an hour, they're not going to be able to. You got to pay them more. You'll get someone more capable.
But you can see the mashkiach. The mashkiach knows what he's talking about. Now, I personally would never rely just on a mashkiach. And in America, it doesn't exist such a thing as a store. It doesn't have a good hechsher. Oh, but there's a good mashkiach. But I would rely on the mashkiach if he tells me, you cannot eat this, this, and this. Then I would say, there's for sure a problem. He told you. The mashkiach told you you can't eat that. And a lot of the restaurants, that will happen. You walk in, you speak to the mashkiach. Sometimes I walk into the restaurant. I'll say, where's the mashkiach? And I say, he's not here now. Okay, so I'd like to speak to him. Or, when is he coming? And they start talking like, okay, the mashkiach's not coming. So what do you mean the mashkiach's not coming? And then, so you become an informed consumer. Walk in, ask the mashkiach, what meat are they using? I want to tell you a story that happened with me. There was a young man, his name is Shmuley Karolnik, like he learned here. He wanted to go to a restaurant, he was having pressure to go to a restaurant. Went to the restaurant with him before, and the mashkiach, okay, what meat are you using? Machput. Okay, great. Can I see the label, please? Sure, I'll be back in a minute. 20 minutes later, he comes back. It's not machput. What happened? So I would never rely on a mashkiach personally, that it's good if there's no good heksha there. But if you walk in and you see the mashkiach is not good, or the mashkiach tells you, this is not for you, this is not something that I think is really for a person that wants a standard, or these meats particularly are a problem, then you for sure know, stay away. But you can ask him. Just ask the mashkiach. Now a lot of times you go in, the mashkiach says, this is beseder, nothing to worry about. That's the worst, by the way. When they won't answer your questions, you say, what meat do you use? Beseder, akol beseder, don't worry. Everything is good. Then you know you got serious problems. He can't even talk to you. He's not answering your questions. But try it. Try if you ever go any restaurant. Try, just go and see. Even if it's an Eidah Chedes restaurant or a Reuben restaurant, go and ask the mashkiach. And talk to the mashkiach. What's going on over here? And try to be a little bit more knowledgeable. Why not? Let's know a little bit about what's going on in our lives. I've always said, Be'ez Hashem, we came to Eretz Yisrael to Shtai Gois. We have a special bracha from Rabbi Kiva Eiger that a person comes to Eretz Yisrael and learns Torah. So then all of the, anything that we ever possibly, you know, took into our bodies that we weren't supposed to and caused the Timtum Alev, we're going to cleanse it with our Shtaiging in Torah in Yerushalayim.
Amen.
Could you be in a store that has, let's say, different levels? I mean, let's say,